The Dad Stuff Podcast, brought to you by Ned Australian Whiskey. It's Aussie for bourbon.
Welcome to the Dad Stuff Podcast, episode 2. Our guest today, according to Wikipedia, is Guy Nicholas Mowbray, an English football commentator who primarily appears on the BBC. And while working for Eurosport at the 1998 World Cup, he became the youngest ever television commentator of a World Cup final, aged 26. Guy, welcome to the Dad Stuff Podcast. That seems a long time ago, doesn't it?
Cheers, David. Yeah, I like how you start according to Wikipedia, therefore, probably a load of rubbish.
According to Wikipedia, you also plant Christmas trees in your spare time and collect stamps.
Oh, good. Yeah, never done either of those things, but okay, fine. That's all good. No, don't know where they get it from, and nothing to do with me.
Perfect. Now, mid-November, so deep into the football season. How is the season going so far for you? How busy has it been, and what's the state of play for you?
It's good. We just had a bit of a break with the last round of internationals. Nothing much happening there, so that's been quite quiet. But that's it now until the end of March. We're basically all full guns, all steam ahead. And yeah, it's going well. It's good. Another good season. Premier League's shaping up nicely. Probably going to be a bit more interesting than recent years at the top and the bottom, I think, actually. And the same in Europe. I quite like the new Champions League and the new Europa League formats. I know the jury's out still, but I quite like it. I've been enjoying the game so far. It's been a good season, but I think it starts now. It literally starts now after this, when you get a clean run of 4 months of action with nothing to interrupt it. This is when things really start to happen, so it'll get better from now on.
Now, one thing we've learned over the last, probably 10, 15 years, is that there is no days where there isn't any football, with the Premier League playing all sorts of days. Like you mentioned, Europe is Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Talk us through a normal week, if you can call it normal, for you during the season.
Well, if we look at next week, for example, which is a European week, which is getting more normal than not, to be honest. And in the gaps, there's some League Cup or there's some more Premier League stuff in the other midweek. So a normal week would be, if you assume you start on a Saturday, I'll be at a Premier League game on a Saturday, every Saturday. Commentator for Match of the Day, just to dispel a myth that still people who think the earth is flat still seem to have in their heads. We don't go home or go to the studio and then do the 10 minutes afterwards. You know, it's all live. It's all live to us. It makes no difference to us if they show 5 minutes of it or the whole 95 minutes of it. Makes no difference at all. We do the same job and it gets edited down by people and then the best of it is shown. And there are longer versions here and there and, you know, what have you. But there are still some people for some reason think we'd have the time and the wherewithal to go and do it again. And I guess it's a backhanded compliment because, generally most of us do it well. So how can you possibly get that right? Well, because we've been doing it quite a few years. And also, most of my stuff's live anyway. So, that's a Saturday. That's usually a Sunday as well. 3 Sundays out of 4, I'll be doing that. Monday, I try and have as much of a day off as possible. There is no such thing as a day off. That's not a complaint. That's not a moan. But there isn't such a thing as a day off. And in a Champions League week, as it is next week, I will be prepping all day Monday anyway. Tuesday, I'll be off to do a Champions League game. Depending on the time of year, that can be from a studio in London or Manchester over here or on site somewhere in Europe. Same on Wednesday. This season, my main contract with the BBC, we do have rights to the Champions League now. So Wednesday night, I'm doing a game for them. Thursday would normally be Europa League. This season so far, I haven't done any because I've just got to give myself a bit of a window to do other stuff, which I've taken on recently. So that's the only time I get to do that. And then Friday, you're back in the whole prep for the weekend thing. Once the football season's going, when you get a free week, all you do, like for example, I've been quite quiet this week. So for example, this evening, before talking to you, I've been prepping for Leicester against Brighton, which is a game I'm doing on the 8th of December. But I haven't got a lot of notes on Brighton so far this season, so I thought, you know what, I've got a spare couple of hours. Let's get some Brighton down and get it all updated. And then whatever's much to do in the week leading up to the game. And it's time management. It's time management. That's the best thing about this job. You've got to be good at time management and plan ahead. And I keep a paper diary. I still don't do it on my phone. I keep a paper diary, and I had a look this morning and went, I don't know when I'm going to do that, so I'd better make a start today. And that's kind of what you got to do. But it's not a whinge. We do work 7 days a week. Every spare moment that you have, you basically come into the office and get the computer on and start doing your prep. And it's a hobby. It's a hobby as well as a job. So that's how it is.
Probably the follow-up question to that is that obviously you get paid to talk about football whilst you're watching football. When you're not talking about football and getting paid for it, do you sit at home and watch football?
Yes. That's all the time.
Yeah. And is that for pleasure?
Yeah. Well, a bit of both, really. No, to be honest, yes, it is, because I always get pleasure from it, but it is really work. It's with work in mind. It's with the fact I think it is in my contract. I read it once. And I think it does say in it, I must remain cognizant of all football developments. And when it says all, that's impossible. But, you know, the Premier League, the Champions League, the FA Cup, some internationals, my main line of work, I must be basically aware of what's going on. So if somebody like this, for example, if something like this happens, I'm able to talk about it in hopefully an informed and knowledgeable way. I know what's going on. I'm not going to go, that's happened, has it? I didn't know. So you just kind of do it. It's just a way of life, and it's something I would do anyway, because, you know, I just digest football 24 hours a day, because it's a bit shallow, but it's kind of the only real interest that I have. So I haven't watched any what I would call proper TV now for quite a few years. You know, people watch these box sets and binge and stuff. We started watching the thing that's been publicised over here a lot, the Day of the Jackal. Which is good, really good. And I've watched five of those, which I've done really well to. But I'm kind of like bored of it now, because we're back at work and I've got loads to do. And you know, my wife says, oh, come on, we've got to carry on watching that. And I'm like, oh, you crack on, I'll catch up later. Because just kind of, there's some football to watch next week. So that's what I'll be doing.
Now, a disclaimer here, that Guy and I have known each other for, and this is going to sound really scary, but I reckon about 25 years, if not a bit more. But I know you, and I know how much you love football.
Hang on a minute.
2020. Oh, hang on, it's more than 25.
Your maths is shocking.
It is. It's still, well, okay, I'm in New Zealand. It's very early in the morning. You're in York in the UK. You're having a lager. I'm still waking up. I've had one coffee. So it's probably 30 years. Which,
it's
so
over 30
I
years.
Met you. Yeah, I met you when you were 25 and I was 10. So, but I know you. Yeah. I know you, and we've done this together, that we've gone to the pub, we've watched football with a couple of beers, and we've enjoyed football. So I do know that you can separate that. I'm watching this for work and watching this for enjoyment. But I guess it reaches a point in a match, if something controversial happens or there's an amazing moment of skill, that work brain switches on for you and goes, hang on a minute, I've got to really kind of make note of what happens here, because if that happens again, or if that comes up in conversation, I've got to be able to reference that.
Yeah, it does, but it's a lot easier now, because you can always go back and watch again. You know, there's so many tools available to you to watch it. So, you know, you do make a note of what happens, and then you think, well, I'll watch it again later. And the thing that you do lose doing this job is you lose any concept of bias. You can see both sides in everything. I mean, as you know, my local team, there yep. they are. That's from 2012, so that's 12 years ago as it is. But, you know, York City. That is when I go and watch football for pleasure. I'm going a week on Saturday. I've got a rare Saturday when I'm not doing a game. I'm doing a game on the Sunday at Anfield. So I'm going to go there on the Saturday and I'll watch a match. And that is pure pleasure. And that is, and it is at the moment, because we're absolutely flying. and I absolutely love going. And I do get a little bit fan. And a little bit, you know, I'm having a go at the referee as much as anybody else. But that bias still isn't there. You know, there'll be people saying to me, what do you think? Bloody referee. Oh, and I'll just say, well, actually, you got that right. I don't know what you're talking about. And they'll, well, what do you know? And it's like, well, you did ask me. And quite honestly, it's, I want my team to win, but I still know what's right and wrong. And it's honestly, every game you go to, isn't it? The referee's crap, apparently, in every single game. And actually the level York are playing at, they generally are, because it's the fifth tier of English football, so I'm afraid you get fifth tier referees, and that's the way it is. But they're not doing it on purpose. You know, it goes with the standard that you're playing. And
that's right.
Anyway.
It's a thankless task.
You do watch it differently, though. I'll give you that. You do watch games slightly differently.
Now, you have had the very great pleasure of commentating alongside some of the biggest names in football, particularly from the UK. You know, I've been very lucky to have a beer with you after a World Cup semi-final in Durban, South Africa, and enjoy the company of Mark Lawrenson, who, you know, for you and I, was somebody we heard on the TV every weekend. Lawrenson was, just a pleasure to be around, but I'm sure there's others. Who do you have a favourite? Can you pick out a favourite of people you've commentated games with, or a top three?
I'd have to say Loro, because he's a mate as well as anything else, and you know, he's a hero as a kid. You know, this is somebody who won everything with Liverpool and played for the Republic of Ireland, and was just such a great footballer. And as you say, he then became really respected on the TV, and he's a good friend now. He doesn't live far away from me, so we meet socially very, very often, and it's still the same. A great tourist as well at World Cups and European Championships. Great person to be around. He'd be right up there. But I don't want to diss anybody I work with now and have worked with in the past, because I'm very lucky. I've been around people that, again, they're sort of heroes, and you loved watching them play, or one or the other, or both. And now to sort of, I wouldn't say on an equal footing, because I don't think it is, but they sort of treat, you know, they respect my knowledge of football and what I've done in the game, and to get on with them is great. I mean, I'm working now mainly with Alan Shearer, you know, which is great. I mean, the Premier League's all-time record goal scorer, which I don't think will ever be beaten, actually. Don't think anybody's going to get to 260. Martin Keown, fantastic. I love Martin to bits. Danny Murphy, you know, won the lot with Liverpool. They're my regular sort of colleagues now, and they're all very different, which is also great, because they're all different in their own way. But over the years, I've worked with so many big names in the world of football, in England and abroad. And, you know, they're generally, I can't think of many who thought, I don't want to be in their company anymore. You know, I can't think of any really.
That's a great situation to be in. And I have to say, you know, I'm probably speaking for you here, but, you know, whenever I'm back in the UK and I watch Match of the Day, you know, everybody who grew up with Match of the Day, the iconic theme tune, and then to have somebody like Gary Lineker hosting it for now, talking about a game, and then saying your commentator for this one is Guy Mowbray, and I go, geez, that's good. How good's that? That's Gary Lineker throwing to Guy.
The fact, you know, I texted Gary the other day. I was out having a meal with the family, and we've got an ongoing joke about going about red wine and the fact that I don't like any other than Malbec, because I was quite late to wine, so I'm not big on it. I'll have a Malbec, please. And he's any chance of you having something else? I don't like anything else. How do you know? Well, I'm not going to try. I'm not going to bother now. I'm too old. So there we are. So I took a picture of the wine and sent it to him. So we have a standing joke. And the weird thing for me is, when I was literally 9 years old, 9, 10 years old, and I used to go and visit my brother, who's a lot older than me, he's 9 years older than me, and he was at Leicester University. And we used to go and watch Leicester City at Filbert Street. And a very young Gary Lineker was in the team and just making his way through. So, you know, I was like a bit in awe of him from the start. And then this is somebody who goes on to score goals for Everton, Barcelona, Tottenham, and of course, for many years, was England's record scorer. And now I class him as a friend and colleague. And, you know, that's brilliant. But I don't think about the old stuff anymore. You know, people say, how do you deal with people when you're working with them and they were your heroes? Well, you just don't think of it like that anymore. That was then. This is now. So it's great. But I'm very fortunate, because they are they're good eggs, as we would say.
Now that's always good when those people you have had experience with in the past, without knowing them, turn out to be good people. So that's always good to hear. Now, you've mentioned, you know, games around the world and touring, going to World Cups. What's the one place you've been to and commentated a game where you've, you know, almost gone, wow, I'm here?
Well, I think the Maracanã was one, because of the books I'd read as a kid, you know, well before the internet, when your football knowledge comes from what you would see on the TV and the books that you digest. And I had I had every football annual going forever, and the loads of encyclopedias of football and things like that. I used to get them for Christmas and birthdays every year. And you know, this one mythical place, the Maracanã. And I got to go there quite a lot between 2013 and 2014. 2013 went out to cover the Confederations Cup, which is no more, the precursor to the World Cup in the same country the following year. And I was incredibly lucky that when I first went to the Maracanã, because we went the day before the game. I can't even remember which game it was, the first one I saw. It was Brazil against somebody. But we went the day before the game to have a little look round. And there was nobody around. There's no security. As we had a little look and sussed out our commentary point. So myself and Kevin Kilbane, ex-Sunderland and Everton and West Brom and Republic of Ireland, me and Kevin had a little kickabout on the pitch at the Maracanã, which, you know, that's going to take some beating. I can also proudly state I've kicked a ball on the pitch at the Bernabeu, at the Camp Nou, at Wembley, and most importantly, it's all at Bootham Crescent, York. So, you know, I've played on all the big stages, which is wonderful for somebody, you know, who knew quite early he wasn't going to make it as a footballer.
There's not many people who can say that. Now, you mentioned all those, you know, great locations, great stadiums. Is there, and the answer might be no, is there anywhere left on your footballing bucket list that you want to go to?
Yeah, there is. I mean, I don't really have a bucket list, to be honest. I don't really think in those terms. You just go with what's dealt to you next, don't you? And there's usually something different and unexpected around the corner, when you're not expecting it. I think Buenos Aires is somewhere I would love to go and watch football. Now, whether that's just as a punter or as a commentator, I don't know. But you know, the Boca Juniors River Plate game is something I'd love to experience. And yeah, I think La Bombonera, Boca Juniors home. I think I'd like to go to a game there. There's a few, to be honest. It's a really boring answer usually, but you know, where's the next World Cup final? Is that's New Jersey, isn't it? That's the one I'd really like to get to, because it means I'm still doing all right at what I do. So that would be probably the only thing I'm looking at so far.
Now, unexpected things around the corner. In recent years, you seem to have been the king of that. Talk to us about Gladiators.
Oh, Gladiators is great fun. It's great fun. And it's only just come back in the UK after an absence of well over a decade. And whoever decided it, the time was right, they got it just right. I started doing it last year, just over a year ago, and it was aired in the UK from January all the way through to April. The first series for many years, and I was a little bit sceptical. I wasn't sure. I thought, I don't know how I'll take to this. It's a totally different genre to what I'm used to, and actually very quickly I really enjoyed it. Just something a bit different. We crammed it in a bit last year. We did it all in a bit of a rush, but this year we're spacing out a little bit more, and I'm doing it again for the second series, and I've got actually a bit more freedom this year as well, so I can kind of have a bit more of a go and have a bit more of a laugh with it. And they do send a basic sort of semi-script, and what I say then bears no relation to it, because I've got to let you into a secret on Gladiators. It's not possible to commentate on that live as it's happening. It's not possible, because the days are 10 hours, 12 hours long. It's in Sheffield Arena in you know, South Yorkshire, in the centre of England. And if you think about it, if you think about those contests that they have in Gladiators, that the changes of set take ages. You know, they've got to change the whole arena ready for the next event. And also, you know, commentating live, you couldn't do it, because you don't know the names of the... You can't do your prep. You don't know who they are. So you've just got to react to what you see. So what they do, they get it all done. I then go to a studio and here you go. And they give me a script as to what happens, or a guide as to what happens. But I generally say to them, don't bother with that. I'll just react to what I see. And occasionally with that, we might have another go at it, because I might get a name wrong or something. But generally, we stick to what I say first time around. And it gives it... For example, I'm in this week actually to record episode 8 of 12 for the next series, and I've already made it clear to the producers, don't you dare even give me a clue who wins this thing. because it's got to be real. The reaction is, otherwise you might as well get an actor in and do voiceover. If you want commentary, the reaction's got to be real. It's got to be authentic. You've got to feel it as you're watching it. So that's what we do. And unlike a game of Premier League football, I am allowed slightly to take the piss out of, not contenders, that wouldn't be fair, but out of some of the gladiators and certainly out of the referee.
That must be a lot of fun to have the shackles off, so to speak. Now, the second part of the unexpected, and this has probably made you, along with gladiators, a household name to people who perhaps don't watch the Premier League but just play football, is you are the voice of a video game now. So for so long, you know, EA Sports FC now has your voice on it. And I remember first seeing that and going, bloody hell. You know, never mind Match of the Day, never mind Gladiators. In this day and age, kids globally play this game, and now it's your voice on it for the English-speaking commentary. Like, how on earth?
Well, 20 years ago, if you'd asked me that, I'd have gone, what? That's fantastic. That's amazing. That's the best thing ever. But now I'm in my early 50s and doing what I do and working all the time, which is great. I don't have time to play it. I think I've only watched it, sort of played it twice with my own voice on it. And by the way, I won't do that again because it's weird. Something psychologically damaging. You know what it's like when you play these games. You get into it and you're playing, and then the commentator on the screen will say, so, you know, like, oh, what's he shooting from there for? And or something like that. And you, oh, piss off. It's perfectly valid. And you're playing the game and it's your own voice. And I think, I'm telling myself to piss off or to shut up, or this is weird. This can't be right for my mental state. So when I play with Derek Ray and Stuart Robson on it. I can't be doing with my voice on it. No, I change the comms. It's not right to listen to myself. We have a bit of an issue actually with our next door neighbours who have actually invited me to move in because they said you might as well, because on a Saturday, once we get going in January and February and Gladiators is on, and basically they're playing FIFA FC 25 as it is now. They're playing that all afternoon. They then watch Gladiators. They then go back on playing the game, and then Match of the Day comes on. So basically from morning till bedtime, your voice is heard in our house. So I can only apologise for that.
They'll be charging you rent. Now, I know from experience a good friend of ours, their 11-year-old son, he was playing the game and I dropped into conversation that I knew you, at which point he dropped his controller, looked at me, jaw hit the floor, and couldn't believe it that this guy was a friend of mine. And that's when we exchanged texts and I asked you if you could just record a little video for him, almost to prove that I did know you and I just wasn't trying to big up myself. However, he then took it to school and was the king of school because the voice of FC 25 had sent him a video. And, you know, we laugh about it, but the impact of being on that video game, like surely there must be kids all over the UK when you're around, or, you know, if they do recognise you, do they recognise you now more for the video game compared to Match of the Day and your TV commentary?
Well, no, because as you'll probably know, if you have seen any of the game, the latest installment, particularly FC 25, the version of me that they've put, the AI version of me on screen that you can see, looks like me 30 years ago. So I'm very happy with it. It's very flattering, but nobody would recognise me from it at all. So not at all. No, there's not really any. They don't know who it is. So that's brilliant. And long may that continue. I'm not a presenter. I never want to be a presenter. It's not what I do. So, you know, it's great. No, there's not really been any change whatsoever. You know, they don't know who I am, which is wonderful. And that's how
you
I want
must
it to
love
be,
that.
So.
Yeah. Particularly when you're cursing a shank 9-iron on the golf course.
They definitely don't know who I am. But there's a few things. I was at Old Trafford at a Man United game in the week that the game came out. And I noticed then there were a few people who probably don't play. I mean, I'm being a bit stereotypical there. They might do, but I was going to say people who don't play sort of, you know, console games anymore. But there was a few of them sort of saying, "Oh, can we have a photo?" And I just assumed it was like for their grandkids or something. So that's it's as far as it goes. This is the beauty of being a commentator is you're not really seen that much.
Well, one place that you were seen on TV and you've done it a couple of times now. Correct me if I'm wrong, but Mastermind.
Yeah, I've done it twice. Yeah, I do like a pub quiz. So I always class myself as pretty good at quizzes. I tend to retain information, which goes with the job. Although as I get older, the more I'm having to cram in, the more I'm having to let go. There's no space up there anymore. So it's like a computer, isn't it? The storage is down. I need to buy another terabyte of storage from somewhere. this doesn't help. I'm not as good as I used to be, and I think that's borne out by my latest Mastermind appearance. I did all right, apparently, score-wise, but I didn't win.
Well, you can't win them all, but your specialist subject for the first one was, am I right in saying it was Iron Maiden or Metallica?
It was. Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
It was. It was Iron
and
Maiden.
And what about the second one? For those
they
who haven't
they
seen
it. They won't let you choose with the celebrity. Well, the celebrity version, they won't let you choose something that people would know you for. So football was completely out, and they said, ideally, we don't want you to do any sport. So I chose, Iron Maiden, which has been my favourite band since I was a kid. So I know a little bit about them. I came second to the famous comedy poet Pam Ayres by one point. And I was sick about it, actually, to be honest. She's a lovely lady, but I don't like her anymore.
No, you can't. You've got to hold a grudge for that.
Wildlife and I question hedgehogs. I am going to hold a grudge for quite a long time. And this time I didn't come second. I came joint third, so therefore last. But my specialist subject was Viking York. And on the specialist round, I only got one wrong. And I knew it as well. I was really annoyed with myself because I knew it. And as the question went on, I overthought it and talked myself out of the answer I was going to give. And if I'd given my original answer, I would have been all right. I then would have gone in a different order on the general knowledge, got different questions. And you never know. It would have been a different story. So, again, I'm quite bitter about that. Went on the Weakest Link recently, a Gladiators special, and got voted off first, so I was the Weakest Link. Very, very bitter about that. Later, Giant, the biggest Gladiators of all, I've still got it on my phone and I will keep it, left me a snivelling voice message admitting that the Gladiators had all teamed up and decided I would be the one that wins it, so let's vote me off first. And that's what happened.
We see.
And you don't argue with those guys, really.
No, what they have failed to recognise, however, is that you do have the final right of reply when you go into the studio this week and say, Giant, the big snivelling weasel, he's got no way to answer that until it goes to air and then comes to find you in the dressing rooms at one event.
I let them know as I walked off. I let them know. I did say the commentary on Series 2 is going to be interesting, isn't it? but then again I respect them too much to properly put the boot in, and also I'm a complete coward, so there's no chance of doing that.
All right, well, it's time for one of the I'd say it is the favorite segment of the show, and that's because there is only one specialist segment.
It's the Dad Stuff Fast Five.
So the Dad Stuff Fast Five, Guy, there are five questions. We have sent these to you in advance to see if you can prepare anything. Who's the most famous person in your phone contacts?
Well, it'd have to be Gary Lineker and Alan Shearer, I guess. I think.
And if you had to pick between the two, who's more famous out of those two? This is purely to cause angst between the two of them.
It's probably... Oh, I don't think you can. No, I don't think you can.
Well, you have. I think
that's a 50-50 generation. Where's Gary then?
Oh, poor Alan. Okay, next one. Best piece of advice you've ever got?
Never say no. That's a professional career's advice. Don't say no to anything, because if you say no, somebody else will say yes. And if they're any good at it, that door's closed to you, possibly forever. So certainly when you're starting out in any sort of profession, just say yes.
That is perfect. Now, we've mentioned you don't have a bucket list, so let's phrase this question differently. Aside from work, what's the one thing you still want to do in your life, a holiday or a place to visit or a person to meet?
I want to play more golf right around the world. And I want to... I've always said this, but I'm going off it now. I've always said my sporting wish list is I want to come to Australia on an Ashes tour and support England to at least one test match, probably Boxing Day at the MCG. But I've got to be honest, I've gone right off cricket. There's too much of it and most of it's pointless. So I've just kind of dipped a bit. I'm kind of thinking there's no point. I'll go and do something else.
Well, I've got the SCG membership now with the guest pass. So your tickets are sorted for the New Year's test at the SCG. So let's lock that one in for what the year? 2026, I think, is the next one. So we're in.
Well, we'll do that. Although we are right in the middle of the football season. It's very inconvenient.
It's all right. Well, the magic of technology, you can be remote. And, you know, as you said, you know, we'll just dial you in. It is live. We can dial you in live. Ultimate meal for you, either at a restaurant or a home-cooked one?
Fish chips and mushy peas. It's not ultimate. It's standard, and it's at least once a week. But that's my favourite meal. That would be my death row meal. So, quite honestly, I'm not changing it.
Crucial question. Salt and malt vinegar?
It doesn't have to... Well, is it malt? Do we go that poncy? It's just vinegar, isn't it? It's just salt, vinegar, scraps, lots of them. And they're soaked. The peas have to be soaked as well. Loads of vinegar. We're talking loads of vinegar on this.
Yeah.
A little bit of ketchup. I'm not a load, but I'm a little bit of ketchup. Possibly even, if I'm feeling exotic, we'll have a blob of curry sauce on the side as well. But never, ever, because I'm not from London, we're not doing a wedge of lemon. Not a chance.
How dare they? You are so cultured. A splodge of curry sauce. All right, the final question for today, and we'll never judge how good or how bad, but have you got a really good dad joke for us?
No. The only joke, it still makes me laugh. Well, most of my jokes are incredibly bad taste, and I couldn't tell them anywhere apart from in very private company. So, and they're the ones that make me laugh, really, to be honest. So, but a really rubbish one that would be okay for kids. Why are pirates called pirates?
Go on.
They just are.
Oh, Guy, that is particularly outstanding. What a great way to finish. Guy Nicholas Mowbray, thank you so much for your time on the Dad Stuff podcast. Enjoy the rest of that beer, and good luck for the rest of the football season.
Cheers, David. See you soon.
That was the Dad Stuff podcast. Brought to you by Ned Australian Whiskey. It's Aussie for bourbon.